Okay, it's good to have Rich Mejia in the house after 3, 4, 5 weeks of being down for the count. Psalm 23, he makes me to lie down. Man. Israel, hi Daphne, God bless you guys. So the typical topical response of what happens after we die is we all go to heaven, right? Well, if you read the scriptures, it's not that simple. We do know that Jesus said in John 14, 1 and following, I go away to prepare a place for you so that where I am, there you may be also. So heaven really is, we all get to be with Jesus throughout eternity. Amen? And we know that scripture teaches that this same Jesus in Acts chapter 1, who's left the Mount of Olives in the clouds of glory, this same Jesus will come in like manner. And so we know, according to Daniel 7 and Revelation 1, Revelation 19, that he's going to come. He's going to come with the clouds of heaven. Bible says every eye will see him. He's going to touch down on the Mount of Olives. In Zechariah 14, the Mount of Olives is going to split. The city of Jerusalem that's never had a river will suddenly be reorganized and reconfigured. And there will be a river, according to Psalms 46, that makes glad the city of our God. Now, are you guys excited about going to heaven? Well, folks, heaven is coming to earth. And we have that promise. When Jesus came to his own did not receive him. But John 1, 11 through 12 tells us, but as many as received him, to them he gives the right to become the children of God. And Jesus revealed the time of his coming with his statement in Matthew chapter 23, the last verse, where he said, you will not see me again until you say, talking to his nation Israel, you will not see me again until you say, Baruch haba Hashem Adonai, translated from the Hebrew, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So we are waiting for the nation of Israel to make that statement. And I suspect when Zechariah 14 is fulfilled and Jerusalem is surrounded by armies, that they're going to call out on the Lord. And they're going to say, Baruch haba Hashem Adonai, quoting Psalms 118, verse 26. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. And so we're waiting for that moment. And things are heating up in the Middle East. Things are, foundations and preparations are being laid. And I feel, as many of you feel, that we are on the cusp, we are on the threshold of his soon return. Now, it's interesting that Jesus used the word, the Greek word, takias. And you would be familiar with the idea. I'm on a leash here, so it's not going to allow me to get there. It's spelled T-A-C-H-E-U-S. And we get the word tachometer. You guys know that a tachometer measures velocity and speed. And that word actually can be translated two ways. Behold, I come tachias. It can be translated soon in time or quickly in manner. Quickly in manner would be like a thief in the night who comes quickly, he's in, he's out, he's gone. Well, the disciples assume that this word takias means soon. And so they were expecting that Jesus was going to come soon. Folks, it's been 2,000 years. So I would like to suggest that maybe quickly is the correct rendering of that word tacheus. That adverb can mean quickly in manner or as well as soon in terms of time. Well, we know that Jesus is going to come quickly. He's going to come like a thief in the night. But Scripture gives us multiple things that he said must be fulfilled before he returns. And one of those is Matthew 23:39. You will not see me again until you, Israel, say, Baruch haba Hashem Adonai. But the Jewish rejection of their Messiah meant salvation for the nations. And so we are now in a parenthesis of what the Apostle Paul called the times of the Gentiles. Aren't you glad that now it's not just the Jews that are the elect, but as Revelation 5:9 says and Revelation 7:9 says, there will be representatives around the throne from every tribe, every nation, every people, and every language. Now, that means that we've got to finish the translation work, getting the scriptures into every tongue, every language, every people, and every nation. And we're on an approach. Wycliffe,
yes.
Targets 2025 for the completion of the Bible, some portion of the Bible in every language. So we are now in the time of the Gentiles, or that pause between the time when Jesus in his first sermon said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. And he ends up with, and the acceptable year of the Lord out of Isaiah chapter 60. But he leaves off, and the day of judgment of our God. So he stops at the acceptable year of the Lord. So in our bulletin, in the upper left-hand corner, it says, today's date, in the acceptable year of our Lord, the Lord's day in the acceptable year of the Lord. Aren't you glad it's still time? It's still the hour of salvation. The door to the ark is not shut. At some point, judgment will close that door of opportunity. But this is still the acceptable year of the Lord. In the words of Paul, now is the hour of salvation. Now is the time of salvation. So here we are. We are between the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of judgment of our God, which is going to be a wild, wild ride. Gabriel, the angel, the messenger angel, we know that Michael is the warring angel. Gabriel, who played into Daniel's story as well as Mary and Joseph, Gabriel came down and gave Daniel, a eunuch in Babylon, the timetable for the coming of the Messiah. And Daniel had been marking off the calendars. He realized that Jeremiah's prophecy of 70 years was about to be fulfilled. He fasts and prays. He's honored with a visitation from heaven. And he's given the timetable for the coming of the Messiah. Well, John also was given the walk down. We're not told who the angel is, but he got the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he got the walk down to the second coming. How many of you are reading the book of Revelation? Good, because it says, blessed is he who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who keep them. Notice it doesn't say understand them. There are so many multiple timetables in your in theology and in your study Bibles of how this all plays out. And I have my particular literal reading of the scriptures. I'm a literalist. And there are many today who believe that we are on the threshold of his return. Now, certainly the kingdom of God is at hand for anybody who will believe. So we can have Jesus and the kingdom of God right here, right now, in my life and in your life and on the Mendocino Coast, right? The kingdom of God is here. It's at hand. But Jesus will come in like manner. And so no one knows the day or the hour. We do know the times or the seasons, however. And we see things beginning to take place. If you're watching the news, the preparations that are being made by Jewish priests for a third temple, and the sacrifices, we see the gospel of the kingdom in Matthew 24. It says in verse 14, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the earth, and then the end will come." So all we need, basically, is to finish the task, reach the finish line. There it is. "This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." And in Matthew 23, prior chapter, "You will not see me again until you say, 'Israel, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" So Jesus gives us the order of events in this very same passage. The end time passages are Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 11. But here in Matthew 24, verses 29 and following, he gives us the order of the events. So here it is. He tells us that there's going to be a time of birth pangs. There's going to be a time where there will be a great falling away, that the love of many will grow cold, that there will be persecution, that there will be earthquakes and tsunamis. In Luke 21, the roaring of the sea, wars and rumors of wars, and that there will be persecution. And so he lists all of these events getting stronger and closer together, as in pains of childbirth. And then he says in verse 29, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days," we call this the Great Tribulation, the prophet called it Jacob's trouble, "the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Aren't you excited? "And he will send his angels with the sound of a trumpet." Paul tells us at the last trump, and that sends us obviously to the seven trumpet blasts of Revelation. "And they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And so will we ever be with the Lord." Now, where's the Lord going? Actually, he's coming. And he's going to land on the Mount of Olives. Zechariah 14 tells us. And we talked about that. Well, we have what I see as the signal that we're on the cusp, we're on the threshold of Jesus' soon return. And he's going to come quickly. So I put both words out there. We have the technology for the mark of the beast as recorded in Revelation 13, where no one can buy or sell without a mark, some kind of mark in their hand or their forehead. Martyrdom is at an all-time frenzy in an approach to the number of the martyrs in Revelation. In the fifth seal, it says there's a certain number of martyrs that have to be killed in order for it to be complete. When they cry out to the Lord, he says, wait until the full number of martyrs is complete. So there's a certain number of martyrs. And we're seeing a number of martyrs. We're seeing the third temple could be built momentarily, providing the platform for the Antichrist to proclaim himself as God. All of this points to a literal rendition and understanding of the scriptures. I know that there's other views, more symbolic, more historical, but this is the view that I want to present to you today. Now, just as Daniel's revelation from Gabriel mapped out the coming of the Lord in his first coming, the number of days were showed him, just as God did that for Daniel in Babylon, I believe that John got the revelation of Jesus that gives us the order of events at the close of the age. And chapters 19 through 22 of the book of Revelation show us what those events are. We have the judgment of Babylon the Great. We have the sign, the prophetic sign of every tribe, the sun, the moon, the stars. We have the man of sin being revealed. We have the rapture, resurrection, second coming of Jesus. And we have the great day of the Lord. And then John does something very interesting. At the coming of Jesus, he shares with us that there's a 1,000-year period that is called the millennium. And here are the prophecies of the prophets of old that will be fulfilled as the nations worship in an earthly Jerusalem. So here it is in Isaiah chapter 2. So, great tribulation. Jesus comes in power and great glory. He fights along with us. We are his armies. The earth then becomes his, the kingdoms of our Lord, of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he sets up a 1,000-year reign from Jerusalem. Now at that point, you all have resurrected bodies. So it doesn't matter how bad the fire is, like Daniel and his four friends, Daniel's three friends. Daniel wasn't in the fiery furnace. But it doesn't matter how hot it gets on earth, we have asbestos-proof bodies. Amen? Right? Okay. So at this point, we have been resurrected. And there is this prophecy that has never been fulfilled out of Isaiah chapter 2 and Micah chapter 4. Let's read it together. I'm going to ask you to stand, because this is the crux of what I want to share with you today. Would you stand with me and we'll read Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. Now it came to pass, join me, in the latter days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the tops of the mountains. And it shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. Many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, folks, has this happened? It could have happened when Jesus came the first time. But the spiritual political leaders rejected him The people said, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna." But the leaders rejected him. And that prophecy was postponed. All the apostles thought of it as the latter days. But the rejection of the Messiah brought about the acceptance of the nations. How many of you would call yourself a Jew? You would say, I'm Jewish. I have a Jewish heritage. I am the elect. I am a true natural child of Abraham. I think we have one in the house. Two. Okay. You are the natural descendants of Abraham. You are the elect. You are the chosen. He came to his own. But as a group, the Jews rejected Jesus. So now, John 1:12, as many as receive, how many of you would say, I'm one of the nations, I'm one of the Goyim, I'm one of the Gentiles? That would be all the rest of us. Aren't you glad that the Jews rejected Jesus and that he's thrown open the doors of eternity to all the nations? Well, this 1,000 years, this millennium, we believe is going to be the time when the nations will say, come, let us go to the house of the Lord. He will teach us his ways. We will walk in his paths. And the law of the Lord will go forth from Zion.
Yes.
That day's coming. And there's going to be 1,000 years, Revelation tells us that at the end of the 1,000 years, there's a rebellion and Satan deceives the nations once more, if you can imagine. And the Lord comes and destroys Satan. He's thrown into the lake of fire along with the beast and the false prophet who were thrown in the lake of fire prior to the 1,000 years. And then we have a whole new thing called eternity. So we've got tribulation. We've got martyrdom. We've got birth pangs. We've got the sun, the moon, the stars. We've got the second coming of Jesus. We get raptured, resurrected. There's this 1,000-year period where we will be in our resurrected bodies, but the nations will come. It actually says in Zechariah that if any nation doesn't come to Jerusalem, that they will not have rain. I wonder if that's one of the reasons California had 7 years of drought, because we're not coming. Anyway, but we're coming, right? 2020 is going to be a turnaround year. And at the close of this 1,000 years, then we get a new heaven and a new earth. So let's go to the last book of the Bible, the last chapter, Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. And this is eternity. You've got tribulation, you've got the second coming, you've got 1,000-year reign, and then you have an eternity. And folks, it looks like the Garden of Eden all over again. And here it is. And he showed me a pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of its street, and on either side of this river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. I've got a theory that those 12 fruits are papaya, pineapple, lilikoi, guava, mango, coconut. I'm thinking tropical. We might be able to throw in a peach or a nectarine in there. I'm not sure. But 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. So you get the seasons, you get the different fruits. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. And here it is, folks. This is heaven on earth, a new earth, a new heaven and a new earth. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. Not the mark of the beast, but his name. And there will be no night there. There will be no need for lamp or light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. That's eternity. That's what we're looking forward to. That's the end result. And we win. Aren't you glad? Until then, we are, as we talked about last week, we are the body. He is the head. We are the bride. He is the groom. We are the army. He leads us as the commander-in-chief of the armies of heaven. We are the temple, the building. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the capstone. And we are his sons and his daughters. Father in heaven, we thank you for this amazing revelation that you gave to John to show us the unfolding of your purposes in our lives. Lord, thank you for the parentheses, this inclusion of the Gentiles. Thank you for the Jewish rejection of the Messiah means the salvation of the world. And as Psalms 117 says, every nation, every people will praise you and give glory to you. And Father, it doesn't matter how dark it gets. It doesn't matter how difficult it gets. It doesn't matter if several of us are martyred. We're going to believe that we overcome by the word of our testimony, Revelation 12:11, by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb that cleanses us from all sin. The word of our testimony, which was your testimony, it is written three times in the wilderness with Satan. It is written, it is written, it is written. The blood of the Lamb that cleanses us from all sin, and we love not our lives, even to the point of being willing to die for you. And Lord, we thank you that you're coming, that you're going to establish an earthly reign on this planet. We're going to be resurrected. We're going to be kings and priests. The nations will flow into Jerusalem. You're going to be worshipped from Mount Zion. And at the close of 1,000 years, a new heaven and a new earth that looks like the Garden of Delights, the Garden of Eden, with a river of life, the tree of life, the Lamb, the throne of God, the 12 fruits. Lord, we look forward to that, and we rejoice in what you've accomplished.